Hi, thank you very much, Lynn, and thank you very much, Chris, and hello, everyone. Welcome to the Seven Steps to Awakening. Actually, that's not 100% correct. It's not really the Seven Steps to Awakening as much as it's the sharing from my journal of contemplations of the Seven Steps to Awakening. And tonight will be a very short sharing, because in about 28 minutes we have Jacqueline Eckert and Brent Haskell here. And actually I've promised to give the last 5 minutes of my time to Cheryl, who is going to talk about a retreat in Costa Rica in November. And I'm a speaker at that retreat, so I'm going to let her share with you all about that retreat. So I've only got around 20 minutes, so it'll be a very short sharing. I am going to start with a song, but because it's going to be a short sharing, I was careful to pick out a short song. But I do like the song as a beginning, as a time just to get centered and get quiet, kind of like a prayer. So the song that I have picked out tonight is called Love of God by Julie True. Very short song, kind of an abrupt start and an abrupt end, but a beautiful, beautiful prayer in the middle. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to look at number 729 in the Seven Steps to Awakening, along with my journal entry regarding 729. So what I am pasting in the room right now is a link to my journal for quote number 729. 729 is a very short quote, which is good since we have a short period of time. It says simply, remain in the pure, egoless state. Remain in the pure, egoless state. And if you are familiar with my Seven Steps teaching, then you know that the way that I identify ego based on my contemplation of the Seven Steps is I identify ego as that sense of a personal me that, of course, is different from and separate from everything that is not me. And I like to use the example, even my clothes, because, you know, like right now I have a skirt on, and that skirt, the waistband of that skirt is right up against the skin on my waistline, right? So the skirt is right outside the skin of the body. It's just the closest thing to the skin is the skirt. And even that the ego sense sees as not me. It might be mine, my skirt, but it's not me. Anything outside of the skin, really. That seems to be the boundary that the ego sense creates. Everything from the skin in is me, and everything from the skin out is not me. So when 729 says, remain in the pure egoless state, it feels helpful right now just to practice a little inquiry. What is egoless? If ego is this sense of a personal me that ends at the skin, the skin and inward, what is egoless? And when I ask that question, what comes to me is egoless would mean no personal sense of self. No personal sense of self. This says remain in the pure egoless state. So what is that pure egoless state? I think that we all experience the pure egoless state, everyone, not just people on the spiritual path. I think everyone experiences the pure egoless state at certain times in their life, but they might not notice it. You know, like one time that a person may experience that pure egoless state is when they're in the zone in whatever their particular talent is. Like for me, even long before I was teaching spirituality, my talent has been that of teaching. Prior to teaching spirituality, I taught in the business world. I taught management skills, communication skills, even software skills. And when I would begin teaching something else, some other kind of knowing that wasn't my intellectual knowing, would always take over and teach through me. And I remember being so amazed that that this wisdom that knew whatever topic I was teaching so well that it could teach beyond me. Right? I was in the zone. And the same thing happens when writing. You know, I used to write courses as well. And I could write these courses that, you know, it seemed to me like I should have had to have learned so much about the topic to be able to write that. And yet I knew that I did not have the education to write that. And yet that writing was coming through me, and it would so beautifully teach whatever topic it was that needed to be taught. So this talent to teach, to write courses and to speak and to teach, it's always been there for me. And when I teach, there, even when I'm using words like me, and even when I use example stories from my life, when I teach, there is an egolessness. And what I mean by that is there is no personal sense of self. There's no difference between you and me. In fact, words like you, me, we, they all have that same meaning. And for other people, the talent, you know, the talent is sometimes sports. You hear about people getting in the zone when they're playing sports or when they're running. For other people, it's cooking. right? When they cook, they don't need a recipe or anything. They're just in the zone, and somehow their hand knows what to grab and what to throw in, and they're just, this creation is happening through them. For others, it's painting. For others, it's making music. For others, it's gardening. It's definitely not gardening for me. Oh my gosh, nobody can kill a plant faster than me. But for some, right? So it seems like if we, at least most of us, and for others it's helping, you know, like being the nurse, right? It's helping others. You know, it seems like everyone, at least maybe everyone, I guess I wouldn't know that for a fact, but it seems like everyone has some part of them that has this natural talent that when they engage in that, the ego estate automatically kicks in. They're in the flow. They're in the zone. They don't need to think. There's not all this chatter going on in their mind about me, 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 right? In my case, the speaking just happens. I don't have to think about the speaking, you know, when I'm teaching. But also for most of us, we don't remain in that egoless state. You know, maybe we do have this particular talent where the egoless state is natural for us, but then in the other parts of our life, there's lots of chatter, there's lots of me talk. So how do we remain in the egoless state? How do we remain in that flow? How do we remain in that zone where there isn't this personal sense of self? There is just this beautiful happening that somehow we're a part of, but we don't really feel that we're doing it, right? It's happening through us, maybe, in some way, but we don't feel like we're doing it. That's the flow. That's the zone. Well, I'm going to go to my journal. Again, the quote that we're contemplating is, remain in the pure egoless state. So I contemplated this quote on June 4th of 2013, and this is what I wrote. I'm just now reading what I wrote, and I think it's funny, which is why I'm giggling. Here we go. What is this thought of I? Chase it. Can you catch its tail? What is it? You know, it's that thought of I that knocks us out of the egoless state, right? As soon as the mind starts thinking about me again, in whatever way that it's doing that, that's when the personal sense of self returns. That's the ego, and that's actually the state that most people in the world live in the vast majority of the time, right? So when we have this I thinking going on, that's when we have the personal sense of self. That's when we're in the ego state rather than the egoless state. So again, the quote is, remain in the pure egoless state. And the question is, how? And what's written in the journal is, what is this thought of I? What is this me that I'm thinking about all of the time? You know, what is it? What is it? Chase it. Can you catch its tail? What is it? Well, I talked about the sense of me being having a boundary of the skin, and that of course comes from the I am the body belief. But if I look within the body, because this says, what is this thought of I? Chase it. Can you catch its tail? What is it? So if I look in the body and I say, where am I? And I go even with the assumption that it's got to be inside the skin, right? Because I have this belief in this boundary. So it's inside the skin. And I look within the skin And I say, where am I? And I do this honestly. I don't go listening to any spiritual teachings at the intellectual level and then just parroting them. I genuinely, genuinely look. What I found, and I'm going to go beyond this because I found something beyond this, but I got to go with what I found first. What I found when I looked within, where is this I, was I found it in the head. I could feel me. There was a me in the head. And it's funny because so many people will say, if you look, you won't find me. And that's why I said I had to ignore what all the other spiritual teachers say, because I didn't want to deny. I didn't want to lie myself into this. I'm looking for genuine truth. Even if all of the spiritual teachers out there are wrong, and my dad is right, he says we just live this life and we die. Right? We're just human organisms. If my dad is right and all the spiritual teachers are wrong, I want to know that. I want to know the truth. I'm not trying to prove a certain spirituality to myself. I'm seeking truth, regardless of what it is. So when I went within and I looked for me, I found this me in the head. It's the me that looks out the eyes. It's the me that hears through the ears. It's the me that thinks. It's the me that's aware. I found this me in the head. But I didn't stop there. And this is what's really important. Again, number 729 says, what is this thought of I? Chase it. Can you catch its tail? Catch its tail to me means, can you hold on to it? Right? When you catch something by the tail, you hold on to it. And it might be struggling, trying to get away from you, but you're holding on to it. So I found this me in the head. So can I catch its tail? Can I hold on to it? And what I did, my way of catching its tail was just to look at it. To look at this me that I found in the head. Just look at it and keep my eyes on it. And I did this for, I don't know how long, a number of weeks. I really don't know how long. I looked at this me in the head. And then one day it dawned on me. What's looking at this me? If I can see this me in the head, what is looking at this me? And where does this me reside? Not just in the head, but within the looker. Within the looker. You know, if I'm the looker looking at the me, where is this me within the looker? And what is this me in the head if I somehow am still beyond it looking at it? Right? I mean, I began to explore these questions. And what I found as I really, really watched this me in the head, I found that it's only sensation. I mean, I don't know what creates this sensation. Maybe it's just the spinning of the thinking mind. Just the brain, you know, the brain, isn't that like some kind of like electrical activity or something kind of happening, right? When things are firing, I don't know, but just the firing of the brain maybe is what creates this sensation. But as I really, really, really looked at what I thought was me, I found nothing but sensation. Nothing but sensation. And so then I began to turn around even further and look at what's looking at this sensation that I had mistaken for me. And what I found there kind of defies description. But I'm going to call it an open, empty, aware, alive intelligence. Very open, very empty, and yet very aware, very alive, and very intelligent. And what I found as I looked at this was I found that everything seemed inside of it. The sensations in the mind that I had called me were definitely inside of it. Of course, they're also inside the skin. That's where I began looking, right? It was inside the skin. But the entire body was inside of this. And, you know, my eyes were closed, so I was seeing nothing. But every sound that I heard was inside of this. And I could find no boundary. You know, when we think of ourselves as the body, we have a boundary, the skin. But in this, I could find no boundary. And in this, there was no personal sense of me. The personal sense of me wasn't gone. People talk about, you know, maybe it's not there at all. I wouldn't say it wasn't there at all, but it was merely a sensation within what I was. So it was clearly not me. It was the personal sense of me was a false sensation within the emptiness that I clearly was. Now, the quote says to remain in the pure egoless state, and this has not occurred for me, this remaining in the pure egoless state. But finding that pure egoless state and then accessing it daily as much as possible and sitting in that, this is what we call awareness watching awareness meditation. That seems important to me right now. That seems important. It seems like if there's going to be some kind of a shift that enables remaining in that egoless state, that shift is going to occur by spending as much time as possible in that state rather than as much time as possible in the thinking and the personal me. And so this, of course, is why I am committed to the daily meditation, the daily awareness, watching awareness. And everything I read, whether I'm reading the Bible, whether I'm reading books by Michael Langford, right now I'm reading a book by Locke Kelly, but everything I read keeps telling me the same thing, to practice this awareness, watching awareness. Nothing else seems to be landing in my hands. So to me, that's a pretty clear message. So that's what I do. So that's what I do right now. So again, the journal entry, first the quote, 729, remain in the pure egoless state. And then the journal entry, which is really pointing in that direction. First is, what is this thought of I? Chase it. Can you catch its tail? What is it? And I think that's very important, because I think one mistake we make a lot on this spiritual path is just intellectually believing what we read or hear. So the actual practice of looking for that me, finding that me, which is what I did, I found what felt like that me, and then catching its tail, watching that me, watch that me. And that seems to be what created the opening to see that it wasn't me. All right. So that takes us to where I'm supposed to be turning the mic over to Cheryl. Cheryl, are you here? I can't tell if she's here, but what I'll do is let go of the mic. I am letting go of it for Cheryl. So Cheryl should take it. If she doesn't, I'll come back and take it. Okay, maybe Cheryl forgot, because I'm not seeing her as I'm scrolling on the room and nobody is taking it. So tell you what, I will do as well as I can what Cheryl was going to come here to do. Cheryl has invited me, Cheryl and Barrett and Dove, have invited me to be a speaker at a retreat in Costa Rica in November. And she was going to come here today and talk about that retreat. And if you want information about that retreat, you can go to the Awakening Together website, or you can go to the Regina Dawn Akers website, and you can find it under the events menu. But I think that one thing that Cheryl really wanted to talk about was the location, the place where we're going to be. Because sometimes the place can be very, very important to the retreat itself. And so the place that we're going to be in Costa Rica is called Star Mountain Jungle Lodge. And I'm going to go to that website right now, starmountaineco.com. Here we go. It's showing up for me very quickly because I've been there before looking at it. It is a very, very lovely place. It's described as an intimate bed and breakfast hotel in large flowering gardens within a 90 hectares private eco reserve. And I'm not sure what a hectares is, but it's in a private eco reserve. It's 2 kilometers from the beach. There's animal and bird watching on over 3 kilometers of nature trails. There's horseback riding on the beach and through the countryside. There's a swimming pool, a waterfall, jacuzzi, a yoga chalet, of course, Wi-Fi. But there's pictures here of it, and it's absolutely beautiful, and it does look like a very peaceful, lovely place to spend a week. The price that Cheryl has put on this particular retreat is $1,499, and that... Oh, Cheryl is here now. I was trying to speak for her because now we only have a minute left. I'll invite Cheryl to come back another time and share. But it's $1,499, and that includes the retreat, that includes the room, that includes the food. This particular retreat is happening in November. It begins November 12th at 5 p.m., so November 12th can be a travel day. And it ends Saturday, November 19th at noon, so it's Saturday to Saturday. I've been to Costa Rica once before. I did a retreat in Costa Rica a couple of years ago, and the format for this retreat sounds very similar to the format we had before, where the morning time was really spent in retreat, things like meditation, contemplation, teaching, that kind of thing. And then the afternoon, we went out for adventure. And the people that were on that retreat with me found it to be extremely helpful. They felt like in the afternoon when we went out for adventure, that the morning's teachings marinated within them, where they felt like they actually got the teachings in a deeper way by not being in teaching all day and all afternoon. And yeah, Cheryl is saying this is an all-inclusive price. Meals at restaurants and homemade meals daily are included. So yeah, $1,499. So Cheryl, we're out of time now because I have to turn the mic over to Brent and Jacqueline. But I'll talk to you. We'll figure out another time when you can come and talk about this as well. But for everyone, if you're interested in this Costa Rica retreat, please go and look at the Awakening Together website or the Regina Dawn Akers website, underneath events on Awakening Together, underneath retreats on Regina Dawn Akers. And it is time for me to turn the mic over to Jacqueline. So thank you, everyone, for coming and spending this half hour with me. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, Regina. Hello.